Episode 167.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we give you the first of two episodes on copywriting. Today, it's all the things that you need to know, even if you don't know anything about copywriting, in order to do a little bit of copywriting for your business. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start, where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
All right. How is everyone doing? Summer is here in Texas. Very exciting. And the studio's completely changed. Hello, my name is Mark Mason. I am your host right here from the little studio in Dallas, Texas. And the little studio's gotten an upgrade. You know, about 10 years ago, I started this podcast and I ordered all of the state-of-the-art gear at the time in order to do this podcast, and that included a whole rack of equipment. And you can find all of that cool stuff, a picture of all that stuff, over in the show notes at latenightinternetmarketing.com/167. Very exciting pile of stuff in a rack by my desk. And as an electrical engineer, I totally geeked out on all that when I bought it, and it's been fantastic. Lots of knobs and bells and whistles and wires, literally pounds of wires. I had voice conditioners and all of this technology, preamplifiers for my microphone, compressor limiter gates to make the sound better in the kind of limited studio environment that I have here in my home office. And then 10 years later, a company named Rode came out with something called the Rodecaster Pro, which is a very sleek-looking one box that does everything for podcasting. That thing has taken the podcast world by storm. You can also see a picture of that. It's a little box that sits right on my desk and does everything that I need to do for the podcast. So if you're a longtime listener and things sound a little bit different, it could be because of the Rodecaster Pro. It could be because of my summer cold. But either way, we're rocking and rolling with the Rodecaster Pro now and loving it. It's really a fantastic tool. And that's a little bit of inside baseball, behind the scenes stuff. Speaking of baseball, I've been playing a lot of baseball, and I thought, what better thing to do than interview an actual former Major League Baseball player that has something to do with internet marketing on the show. I found one. His name is Rusty Ryle. He'll actually be here next week to talk about some of the intricacies of copywriting. He's a professional copywriter. He works with my good friend Ray Edwards and has received a lot of training from Ray Edwards and is a Ray Edwards certified copywriter. He's going to be with us next week, but this week I wanted to spend some time demystifying copywriting for those of you that know you need to do a little bit of copywriting, but it's intimidating and you're afraid and you're not sure where to start, and it feels like a black art, and you know you need to use your words to convince people to take an action. And that's really my definition of copywriting. It's the words that you use to cause people to take action. You know you need to do that, but you're not even sure where to start. And so what I want to do is give you some ammunition so it a little bit demystifies this job of copywriting and allows you to do a little copywriting on your own in between the time where you're trying to do your own copywriting and the place you want to get to. I think we'd all like to get to the place where we have a professional copywriter. So let's do that right now.
It's time to get to work building your internet business. One night at a time. One
night at a time. So what I've put together for you here are the 10 most important to me tips about copywriting. Having done copywriting sort of in an amateur way, a semi-professional way for the last 10 years, having taken professional copywriting training myself at a very high level, and just having done a ton of it, if I put myself in the shoes of someone who hasn't done a lot of copywriting, maybe they're not very good at it, maybe they're a little intimidated by it, these are the 10 tips that I want to offer you that are directly actionable, where you can listen to this episode today and tonight you can do some copywriting. And I don't care if it's a Facebook ad, if it's an affiliate marketing blog post, if it's a long form copy sales page, if it's a video sales letter, whatever it is, if it's a, you know, an ad in the newspaper for your garage sale, if you're doing some copywriting, these are the kinds of things that you want to consider each and every time you go to write some copy where you're trying to get someone, a prospect, to take some action. So let's get right to it. So the very first tip, tip number one, I think maybe the most important tip of the 10, is make sure you're putting yourself in the shoes of your prospect. You know, so often I talk to marketers, they're trying to sell from the perspective of a person who's either trying to make money themselves or a person who created an amazing product themselves. And I totally understand that. You're thinking about the product from the perspective of a product creator, or you're thinking about the product from someone, from the perspective of someone who's desperate to make some money, to make something work. And I totally get that. And there's nothing wrong with starting there, but you need to shift your mindset into the mindset of your prospect. You need to behave and think like and get your head around the idea of actually being the person who's reading the copy and might take action based on your words. That mindset of getting yourself in the head of your prospect is absolutely critical. And the question that I always get when I say this is, Mark, I don't know how to do that. How do I do that? And the answer is so obvious whenever I give it, people always smile. Talk to people who need your product. Talk to them. And when they talk, don't talk to them and tell them about your product. Talk to them and ask them about their problem. Ask them about what it is that they're trying to solve. Hear their language, hear the words that they use, and make notes about the kinds of words and phrases that they use. Get in their head and use their language in your sales letter. Get in the head of your prospect. That's number one. The number two thing I want to tell you is whenever you're writing copy of any kind, you want to make sure that the copy is all about the prospect. So many times I see people talking about themselves and the product in these sales letters or in this ad copy, about the things that you've done and about the amazing product that you've created. And there's some room for that in the sales letter. You definitely want to talk about transformations that you've seen, and we're going to get down to that in a little bit later. But you absolutely need to make the sales letter about the person who's reading it, about their problems and their struggles, demonstrating that you understand. You've already gotten in their head, and now what you're saying is, you understand, man, I have been where you are. I understand your struggles, and I bet right now you're feeling like, oh, this is just another product that's not going to work for me. Well, let me tell you, I know that feeling. I understand what you're saying. I've been there. Let me tell you why this is the answer to all your problems. Let me tell you why my special gadget is going to solve the pain that you're feeling right now with regard to your psoriasis or the fact that you can't make money online or the fact that your golf swing is terrible or whatever your problem is. Let's talk about you and your problem in the sales letter. Let's not talk about me and how awesome I am because I'm going to solve your problem. You are not the hero. As the story brand guy will tell you, Don Miller will tell you, you are not the hero of the story. Your customer, your potential client, your prospect, they are the hero of this story, and you need to make them the focus of your sales copy, whether it's a Facebook ad or a long form sales copy or a video sales letter or a blog post that you're writing about reviewing a product. When you're trying to move them to make the click, make the sale, close the deal, they're the hero of that story. The third thing I would say is you need to absolutely identify and focus on the problem that they are having. You know, their golf swing is terrible and they don't have the right training. They don't know what to do. They feel like, you know, they're not able to do the thing that they need to do. They're having trouble making money online. They're having trouble getting leads to their landing page. They're having trouble learning about building automation or whatever their problem is, right? Whatever the problem is that you want to solve, you need to clearly call that out. Make sure that you absolutely, obviously state it in a way that's completely identifiable so that the person who's reading the sales letter understands that you get them. You get their problem. That's number three. And number four is, once you've defined the problem, you need to convince them that you really understand the pain that comes from having that problem and talk about it. Say, look, I know when you are on a business deal and you're asked to play golf, you feel embarrassed because your problem is you don't know how to play golf. The pain is when you go out with your clients and your boss, you're embarrassed because your tee shots are off in the weeds. You can't even hit the fairway. And your boss is embarrassed for you and your clients are snickering and it's affecting your ability to do your work. That's the pain you feel whenever because you don't know how to play golf, or you're frustrated and golf isn't fun for you anymore because you're not getting better. Or let's say you've been trying to lose weight and your problem is you can't lose weight, but the pain is when you go to the beach, you're embarrassed to take off your shirt, or you can't wear the swimsuit that you really want to because you've got this problem that you can't lose weight, but the pain is you're embarrassed about how you look, or you feel bad because when your kids want to play, you don't have the energy you need to play with them. That's the pain, and that's number four. You need to understand the pain and amplify it, make it real. And really all this is effort on your part to connect with your prospect and make sure that they understand that you understand them. And that's number four. And number five is obvious, right? You provide a solution. Make sure that you tell them, hey, I've got the answer. The answer is my program, or the answer is this training, or the answer is this device that will simplify your life. This thing works, and I'm going to tell you all about the solution. I'm going to provide that solution to you. And not only am I going to provide the solution to you, I'm going to tell you all of the features of that solution. I'm going to tell you all about the features, all about the solution, and I'm going to tell you everything that it does. And one of the things that I see here in five, when people are talking about the solution, they stop there at describing all the features that the solution has. I mean, we're going to teach you this kind of swing, and we're going to shave off this many strokes, or we're going to give you a way to lose 14 pounds in 7 days. And they stop there. They don't talk about the next thing, which is the benefits of these features. So it's one thing to say that I'm going to lower your golf score by 7 strokes. The benefit of that is how the prospect is going to feel once they get those features and put them into use. I want to talk about the benefits that come from those features. You know, I'm going to use the XYZ method on you to teach you better golf, but the benefits are that you are going to have a much better golf swing and look great on the golf course with your swing. I'm going to show you the keto method that's going to fix your fat balance and carb balance, but the benefits of that is that you're going to be able to effortlessly lose weight. And then once you've shown those features, number six is you're going to want to show examples. So you've talked about this transformation that's possible. You've shown them the features of your product and its benefits and the transformation that's going to provide them. Then you want to show on number six, very specific examples where this has absolutely worked in the past. And basically you're setting up the question, if this works for Joe, the farmer, why shouldn't it work for me? That's basically the question that you want to put in your prospect's mind. If him, why not you, right? If that guy can do it, then I can do it. And that's why you want to show those examples, not just to prove that your technique works, but to set up the dynamic in your prospect's mind that if that other guy can do it, then I can absolutely do it too. It's just a fundamental idea to remove the doubt that this might be impossible. Because your prospect is frustrated. They can't solve their problem. And what you want to do is not only put a solution in front of them, but put an example of the transformation in front of them and say, hey, look, this actually works, and here's the example I can show you. The other thing with regard to that, number seven, is you want to definitely make sure you have testimonials, not only about the transformation, not only testimonials that, hey, I did this and it works, and you absolutely need to have this, but I did this and it works, and this is how it made me feel. These are the benefits that, you know, other clients have gotten. Or I did this and this works, and the quality of the product was absolutely amazing. Not only did it work, but it, you know, but the experience was fantastic. All of those kind of different dimensions you want to put in testimonials. So the testimonials aren't just examples of the product working. They need to be testimonials not only of that, but also testimonials of how you, as the person who's selling the product, can be trusted, how there's little risk, how this can work for other people also. You know, the testimonials need to be more than just examples of the product. Examples of the product working are what we talked about in item six. But in item seven, we're really talking about broader testimonials that absolutely show that the risk of going on this adventure is really, really low. You can do a lot of what we call risk reduction in the testimonials if you cover those kinds of objections in the testimonials. So you think about in the testimonials, what might prevent my prospect from pushing the buy button? And in the testimonial, you can start to address some of those objections before you even make the offer, because you can tell them that you can be trusted, that the product does work, that it was easy to do it, that you don't have to be special, that, you know, all of these kind of things that the prospect is thinking, oh, well, maybe this is not for me. Well, the testimonials will say, yes, it is for you because it was for me. And if it's for me, it must be for you. Or yes, you can trust this person. That's the kind of opportunity you want to make sure you take advantage of in the testimonials. Now, number eight is you need to make sure you make a clear offer. And this may seem obvious, but sometimes I see that people, what are they selling? I'm not sure what you're selling. Sometimes I see people trying to do this on purpose. They write a sales letter and they think that by selling just the benefit, like, I'm going to make you rich, but I'm not going to tell you how. Just give me your $2,000 and then I'll tell you how. I think that's a huge mistake. I mean, I think you need to make a very clear offer, exactly what are people giving you? That is absolutely very important, and you need to make it sound fantastic, right? I'm not just giving you a list of things to go do. I'm giving you a proven system, right? You need to make sure that you have some marketing wrapped around the offer and make sure you make it sound fantastic. And I'm not telling you that you shouldn't tell the truth. You should absolutely always 100% tell the truth and maintain integrity with your with what you're actually delivering, but don't undersell your product. If it is an outstanding collection of videos that are, you know, with a high production value, you need to make sure that you communicate that, hey, these aren't just some garage videos that I made my iPhone 4 or 5 years ago. This is some high quality stuff that you're really going to enjoy. People tell us how wonderful the production is, you know, that sort of thing. Whatever it is about your product that makes it special and is in the offer, you need to make sure that the offer shows that very clearly, and make sure you make that offer very clearly, whatever it is that you're doing. And if it's a Facebook ad, maybe it's a one sentence offer. And if it's a sales page, maybe it's 2 or 3 screens full of offers. But whatever that offer is, you need to make sure that it's clear and people know exactly what they're getting, and it sounds like something people would want. Now, number 9 is a kind of a thing that Russell Brunson talks about a lot, and I think it's maybe the most critical thing on the list next to putting yourself in the shoes of the prospect, which was number 1. Number 9 is make sure that you demonstrate that the value of what you're offering is worth way more than the cost. Russell suggests that you're able to demonstrate that the value of your offer is 10 times higher than the cost. And you'll see, you know, he does this kind of value ladder step down, price step down thing. A lot of marketers do this where they add up the value of everything. They say, well, my offer is these 7 things, and each one of the 7 things is worth $1,000. So this is a $7,000 thing, but it's not going to cost you $7,000 today. In fact, it's not going to cost you $5,000. It's not even going to cost you $1,000. Today, we're selling this to you for $249. You know, that sort of argument makes the prospect understand that the value of what they're getting is much higher than the number that's going to appear on their credit card statement. And that's really important. And I know some of you as marketers may feel a little jaded about marketing and may feel jaded about that sort of value step down thing. I'm going to tell you 2 things. One is that works. That's why people do that. Okay. If it didn't work, I promise you people wouldn't do it because they'd make more money doing something else. So that you're not going to pay $7,000 today. You're not going to pay $5,000. You're not even going to pay $1,000. We're going to give this to you for $249. That's a real thing that really works. It's been tested over and over and over and over again, and it really works. So even if you don't like it, you should consider using it in some way, because it is important to tell your prospect what the value is. And the second thing is, I think, you know, not only should you use it because it works, I think you should use it because if you're operating within integrity in your business, it's true, right? You really are offering something to your prospect that is more valuable than the price that you're offering. Look, if I told you that I could help you make $10,000 tomorrow, but I was going to charge you $1,000 today to make that $10,000, well, you'd do that over and over again, right? You would make that deal every time. If that's your product, if your product really is a product that enables someone to do something that is worth a heck of a lot more than what they're paying, you need to make sure that you communicate that. The value of your product is not based on the fact that you took 17 hours to create it and your time is worth $100 an hour. That doesn't make it a $1,700 product. The value of your product is the value to the customer. What's the value to the customer? If this $1,700 of your time enables the prospect to make $1,000,000, then the value of this product is a lot more than $1,700 from the perspective of your prospect. This is another reason that it's really important as you're writing your sales copy to put yourself in the shoes of the prospect. But whatever you do, number nine, make sure in your sales copy you show that the value of your product is way higher than the cost. Sometimes in a Facebook ad, we do this by saying it's 50% off. So we know that the value of the product is at least twice what we're being asked for it, because normally we sell it for $100, but today it's $47, right? And so we know that that value relationship is established. You need to do that in your sales copy, even if it's short form. Number 10, you absolutely need to answer objections. You'll see this a lot at the bottom of the sales letters, and you'll see things like a guarantee. Like, I absolutely 100% guarantee if you don't like this for any reason in 30 days, if you try it out and it's not for you, I will give you your money back. In fact, sometimes people will do risk reduction. They'll say, I'll give you your money back and I'll send you a $100 Amazon gift card for your trouble, right? It's just total risk reduction. And based on your return rates, which you may not know it eventually, but you'll know it eventually. You may not know it first, but you'll know eventually. Based on your return rates, you could calculate what you can afford to offer there. Like, if you know you're going to get 1% or 2% of your products back and you're going to sell 100, you know you're going to get 2 back. Maybe it's well worth the refund plus bonus, refund bonus. Maybe it's worth that in order to reduce that risk. Now, it's something you have to experiment with, because that may also increase your refund rate because they may want the bonus. So don't make the bonus too good, but you need to make sure that people know that you're serious about your refund policy. It's 100% guaranteed and everything's great. Another risk reduction that you'll see all the time is that your credit card is protected by secure transaction on the website, so there's no risk to giving your credit card number. Other things that you'll see with regard to risk reduction are answering objections. You know, like, I'm not sure this is for me. This costs too much money. You need to make sure that you're answering all of those objections that you can think of. And the way you know what those objections are is because of step one. You've put yourself in the shoes of the prospect. You understand what their objections are. I don't have time for this. I've got a full-time day job. Well, make sure you answer that either in the sales copy or down at the bottom of the sales letter or in a frequently asked questions section. You know, what are people telling you? And I'll tell you another little kind of bonus tip. If you've got a lead magnet, lead capture system, or your sales funnel is set up in such a way where you know the people that are hitting your sales letter and you can identify the people that choose not to buy, reach out to those people and ask them, why didn't you buy my product? Tell me. I need to know. Why didn't you buy it? And they might say something like, well, it costs too much. Well, then you know you need to go back to your sales letter and work on the value part. Or they may say, well, I don't think I have enough time to do this. Well, then you know you need to add collateral in your sales letter or in your copy or wherever you are to make sure that they understand that people who do this part-time are successful and that they can be successful too, doing it part-time or doing it an hour a week or whatever it is. You need to find out what those objections are and answer them. One of the really cool things that you can do in a sales letter is over-deliver, and I'm going to over-deliver for you right now. Instead of giving you the 10 tips that I promise, I'm going to give you a bonus tip, tip number 11. And so that's a hidden tip there is you definitely want to have some kind of bonus, some kind of fast action bonus where you can build in maybe a little scarcity in your sales letter. Give them a bonus, give them something extra if they go ahead and make the decision to buy your offer today. You want to add that in to your sales copy. Make sure that they know that they get rewarded for accepting whatever risk for taking that action and put that bonus in there. And my bonus for you today is step number 11. And this is absolutely key. Have a great headline. You know, I see this all the time too. People just mail it in on the headline. They spend, you know, 400 hours on the sales letter, or they just slave over this Facebook ad copy or they spent, I don't know, 200 hours working on some product, and then the headline that announces the product, they spend like 5 minutes on it or four, or they write down the first thing that comes to mind. Make sure you've got a great headline, and there are a lot of materials out there online about how to write headlines, but what's going to happen is people are going to hit your sales page, hit your Facebook ad, hit your Google ad, wherever it is that you're writing your sales copy, hit your blog post where you've got a copy inside that blog post you're trying to get an action, and they're going to read the headline, and if they're not interested in the headline, they're just going to move on. They're not going to take the time to read the sales letter that you spent 40 hours working on, getting it exactly right and doing all of the 10 things that I just mentioned. They're just going to blow you off, and you don't want that. You want them to read it. So you need to spend time working on your headline. Now, there's lots of things you can do, and then the number of ideas for how to write good headlines is longer than the length of this episode is already. Okay, so we're not going to give you full headline training here, but I'm going to tell you a couple things that I know about headlines. There's a couple of really good things that you can do, and one of the ways that you want to think about your headline, like think about the headline in a Facebook ad, you want to stop the scroll, right? This person is scrolling, they're surfing the internet, or in the case of Facebook, they're scrolling down their feed, and what you're trying to do is get them to stop. Stop scrolling, put your thumb down on the screen and read this thing, right? And there's on Facebook, there's two ways to do that. One is with the image or the video, but the other thing is the headline. What does this say? You know, it says, Florida man attacked by alligator actually eats the alligator, or something like that. You know, it's some, a lot of times people use some crazy thing, but in your case, I think you want a headline that stops the scroll, that does something interesting, like evokes curiosity. Like, wow, is that really true? And one of the things that we can do in headlines, a lot of times you'll see people use numbers, especially like on Facebook, like an Arabic number in the headline. That tends to stop people's eye movement. You can use numbers in your headline. You can ask a question in your headline that people want to know the answer to. You can present something that happened in your headline and have people wonder how that's possible. So new course reveals the simple method to improve your golf swing, or this one simple thing changed golf for me forever, or whatever, you know. Well, and then you go, well, what is that? What is that one simple thing? That's the evoke curiosity thing that you need to do in your headline. And again, there are numbers of things that you can do to make your headline better. And maybe we'll do an episode in the future about how to do great headlines. But the tip number 11 is make sure that you spend some time on your headline. And one of the ways that you can spend time on your headline, if you're not sure what to do and you're not sure what will work with your audience, is split test your headlines. If you're on Facebook and you're writing headlines for Facebook ads, try three or four different headlines. Make sure you let them run enough to get enough data, and then pick the one that runs the best, because that way you'll know that's the best headline of the four. Or use some software on your sales page or wherever you are on your WordPress blog, whatever it is that you're using, where you can present headline A to one group of visitors and headline B to another group of visitors. And there's software out there that does that. Google Optimize is one example. You can use that kind of software in order to go do that and split those headlines. So that's your bonus tip. You need to be spending, I don't care how much time you're spending on your headlines right now, whatever much time it is, you need to be spending more time on your headlines. Headlines are a high ROI piece of your sales copy, and they're almost always under-resourced. So that's what I've got about headlines. I hope you enjoy that. So those are our 10, and actually 11 with the bonus, tips on copywriting. Put yourself in the shoes of the prospects, usually by talking to them. That's number one. Number two, make the copy about the prospect, not about you. Number three, make sure you clearly identify and talk about the problem in your copy. Number four, understand and amplify the pain. Make it real. Make them feel it. Put them in that mindset where they understand how badly they need to solve this problem. And then number five, provide the solution for the problem. Give them the solution and tell them about not only the features of the solution, but all the benefits. Number six, show real examples of how this has worked for other people so they'll know if it works for other people, it'll probably work for them too. And then support that with testimonials. And don't just have testimonials about how the product works. Have testimonials about the quality of the product, about how easy it was to do, all of these things, and start to answer some of the objections that products might have, that prospects might have in the testimonials. Number eight, make an offer. Number nine, show that the value is much greater than the cost. And number 10, answer those objections. Make sure that all of the objections that people offer are that people normally offer you. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I'm not sure I'm smart enough. All of those objections, make sure they're answered in your sales copy. And number 11, have a great headline. So that's what I've got for you today. I hope you enjoyed that discussion of copywriting. Now, next week, we're going to have Rusty Ryle on the show. Rusty Ryle is a professional copywriter. He's the kind of guy that you hire when you want to make millions of dollars selling something. And I'm not over exaggerating. These guys like Rusty and Ray, they write the kind of copy that you see whenever you look at copy that's for someone like Tony Robbins or Zig Ziglar or some of these big products that take over entire nations. The engine behind those amazing things is the copy. And so I thought it was really important to get in the head of a real live copywriter. And that's why we're going to have Rusty on next week. So I'm really looking forward to that. In the meantime, I want you to think about how you can apply just one or two of these actual things to some copy that you're writing. Even if you're just writing a blog post and you're trying to get someone to click on an affiliate link, I want you to go through these items and see how they apply to the copy that you're trying to write. I hope that helps you. I hope that you have a fantastic day. And I hope if you love this episode, you'll send me some feedback. Send some feedback to feedback@latenightinternetmarketing.com. I'd love to hear from you either by sending me some feedback directly or going over to iTunes and leaving a review for the show. If you're digging it, I'd love to hear from you. And if you're not digging it, I'd love to hear what digging it would be like for you. See, I want to get in the mind of my prospects. See how I did that? I want to hear from you and hear what you like about the show and what you don't like about it. So send me some feedback by way of feedback@latenightinternetmarketing.com. Or if you'd like, leave me a review on iTunes. I would love to hear from you. And I hope that you have an absolutely amazing, fantastic week. And I'm going to be right back next week with Rusty, and we're going to talk more about copywriting. Until then, ciao.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then,
go and make some great progress on your internet business.
One night at a time.
One night at a time.
All right. So it's been a couple weeks since I've been on the podcast, maybe a little longer. Don't fret. I've been working. So I've been doing a lot of cool stuff. I had the most terrible cough and cold for a couple weeks. I've been playing a lot of baseball, youth baseball. Those are all just excuses. Consistent content is my goal. I'm not there yet, but we're getting there. So thanks for hanging with me. I really appreciate it. I'm really digging this road podcaster. As I mentioned to you, it's really funny. All of my friends are getting them. So Pat has one. Cliff has one. In fact, I got mine because Cliff got one way before me, before I was even able to buy one. And he's just like telling me how great this is. He got so excited about it. He started releasing episodes where he was talking about the thing. So I started watching it and, watching videos about it online and reading all these reviews. Everybody's so excited. And it does all these things that I've always wanted to do but never could do. Multi-track recording. It's simple to use. I mean, it's got a built-in recorder. It's just unbelievable, this thing. So it's funny. So now Leslie Samuel is the one guy in our group who doesn't have one. He's not the one guy. I think Ray has one. Cliff has one. I have one. Pat has one. I think Mike doesn't have one but doesn't need one. But Leslie really wants one, but he's really struggling trying to justify. He's trying to find an excuse. And it's funny because this thing that Leslie's going through with this trying to find a way to buy this, or trying to find a reason to justify spending the $600 on this Rodecaster Pro, it's the same thing that your prospects are thinking when they're reading your sales letters. And that's the thing you're doing with these 10 things, is you're trying to move them past, I think I might want this, to actually hitting the buy button. And the 11 tips that I gave you in this episode, those are the tips you can use to push them over. And sometimes I hear people worried about, well, you know, is that ethical? You know, I'm using techniques in order to try to get an answer. Is that good? Well, it's ethical because I hope your product is awesome and it helps people, right? If you're selling crap and it's not any good and you shouldn't be selling it in the first place, then yeah, maybe you shouldn't encourage, maybe you shouldn't be writing sales letter at all, much less using strategies to convert sales. But if it's a product that really helps people, right? If you've got a transformational product, like you take Cliff's Free the Dream conference as an example. If you're trying to convince people to go to Free the Dream, that's a thing that changes people's entire lives, right? That whole thing is set up to make people's entire lives better for the rest of forever, right? If you don't use techniques in order to convince them to go to that thing, if you're not pushing to go sell them that, that's what's not ethical. That's withholding that from people. That's like having the cure for cancer and not sharing it with anybody. You don't want to do that. So anyway, I love the Rodecaster Pro. I hope you think the audio quality is sufficient. And if you don't, hit me up at feedback@latenightim.com and we can talk about that. Until next time, we'll see you later. Now I'm going to hit this super cool purple button, and that's going to give me the acapella Late Night Internet Marketing. I still have a cold. Falsetto voice not working for me. And then I'm going to hit the pink button, and that's going to give me the explosion. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Purple button.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
Pink button.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me. In 2007, when I was trying to get started, there were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet, and I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explained to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet mom.